Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Laid, Love, and Intimacy for the Disabled. I am your host, Stephanie Wallace, and I'm glad you were able to join us for a special show tonight. Me and co-host Tyson Cherry. Tonight's topic is going to be about accepting life and remaining joyful. We have a special guest tonight. His name is Don Baker. He is someone who, to me, is very inspiring and someone who every time I talk to, I feel very motivated. And I've appreciated Don's just his conversation and his personality over the years. I've known him for a couple of years. But like I said, every time I speak to Don, it's always a wonderful conversation. I always come away feeling like, you know, yeah, I can do this. You know, whatever it is that I'm talking to him about that I want to do. Okay, so we're going to speak to our co-host, Tyson. Hey, Tyson, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing? Fine. Yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. You doing good today?
Yes, today, good thing. Yes, it is. Yes.
Good. How was your week?
It's good so far. I cannot complain as you do.
Good.
But no,
good.
Saturday I went to a barbecue and for a person and the person never showed up. I cannot believe it.
Did you guys have fun anyway?
No. With me and my aide, we were, matter of fact, it was downtown Brooklyn. At the pier,
okay.
And they all are connected now, so we can walk through. It's a nice location, you see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Down at Brooklyn Bridge Park.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's very nice.
Wait a minute. You went to a barbecue for somebody and they never showed up. Did anybody show up?
Yes, they did. They showed up. I did not see them. What they told me was that the barbecue started at 3:30, so I got there at 3:30, but this and my ride leave at 7:30, you see. And I never got to see them. Come find out, the barbecue started at 5:00. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, at least you were down at the pier.
Yes. At least I got to see other people, right?
Right. And you got to enjoy the pier and, you know, explore the pier. That's good. At least you weren't in a location where you had nothing to do but wait.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I had an interesting. Well, my week was fine. You know, I did my dance and I went to my dance class on Thursday. And, like I said, I'm not a dancer, but I'm trying to do new things, open myself up, you know, and expose myself to new things. And I enjoyed it. And turns out that the dance instructor was very open. You know, this program is a very open and nice program. She's going to let my granddaughter be in the performance, which is
great
for me because what happens is that I get to, you know, this experience I get will have forever, me and my granddaughter, you know, to dance in this performance together. And I went to Access finally. Access is, for people who don't know, Access is a program, like a gym, sort of, for people with disabilities. I went there on Friday. They had a karaoke night. And you know I love karaoke. So it was wonderful. We had a great time. We really did. And
I had to go this time. Yes. So how long
How long was it, you said?
Yes.
It was from 7:30 to 9:30.
Okay, that's not bad. Is that the record time, or is that for when you went that day?
I don't know if it's regular or not. I think that's their first time doing it. I'm not sure, but they said something's going to be going on every Friday night.
Yes.
And whatever I find out, I'll let you guys know. I'll announce it on the show. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to introduce Don, you know, because I'm very, very excited to talk to him.
Yes.
and introduce you guys. I think you said you know who he is from ICS.
Yeah, I think so.
Dawn. Okay, Dawn, I'm about to let you into the show. How you doing, Dawn?
I'm doing
good.
Well. How about yourself?
I'm fine.
Dawn,
this is Tyson. Tyson, this is Dawn.
Hi.
How you doing?
I think I know who you are. Yes.
Yeah, you might.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's been a while since I've been down there, but, you know.
Okay.
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, Dawn, today's topic is accepting life and remaining joyful. And for the time that I've known you, I think you might be the most joyful person I know, you know, just in terms of your attitude and your personality, despite all of the things that life has thrown at you.
Yes.
And if you don't mind sharing with the audience, you know, the challenges that life has thrown at you and maybe speaking about that and how that has affected you.
Well, I mean, of course, it all started from, well, it started about maybe 12 years ago when my vision lost. I started losing my vision, dramatically. I mean, it was, you know, I was, of course, in denial with it at the time because I didn't really, you know, you know, sometimes when a doctor tells you that you're going to be blind, I mean, the doctor told me straight up, and that was like a tough pill to swallow. And when a doctor tells you that you are going to be totally blind, I'm like, wow, how am I going to deal with this, you know? So you kind of go into denial with the thing, you know, for and that's what happened, you know. But fortunately, I had a lot of support. You know, my sister, she helped me out a great deal. She told me about this place called Helen Keller, you know, Service for the Blind. And so what happened was Helen Keller, you know, they gave me a lot of training. You know, they showed me a lot of independence. They showed me how to get around. They showed me how to travel on the buses and the trains. And, you know, they even, you know, come to your house and, you know, take you around and, you know, take you around the neighborhood, show you just how to get around independently, you know, how to move up and down the steps, how to do things, you know, independently, you know, without always looking for someone to assist you, you know. And there's nothing wrong with assistance, you know, just that you want to be able to do things by yourself, you know. And, you know, but, you know, from that was just the beginning. But, you know, the key to it all really is acceptance. You know, once you learn to accept things, you can move forward. You can, you know, it's like allowing you to step through the door, you know, and then you can get on with your life because, you know, you realize just because something happens to you, you know, your life is not over. So you really, really have to try to get a grip of things. But, you know, sometimes we fall into these slumps because of the, you know, a lot of the things, you know, negative thinking, for example.
Right.
And we fall into these slumps, and, you know, a lot of things come with negative thinking, such as self-pity, you know, you doubt yourself and you feel you're not up to par, you feel you're less than anyone else, you're not, you know. And then, you know, so that's why it's very important for people to reach out. You know, there's a lot of groups out there, and that's what helped me tremendously, especially with my blindness. It was a group called Project Challenge at the time, which I got involved with. And they were, you know, I mean, I was like, you know, feel like I was the only one going through this. But then when I met up with these people, and they all going through the same thing, and I'm like, wow, you know. So it's like people, there are people just like me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing, and when I got involved with that group, it changed my life dramatically.
It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
To see somebody like yourself. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, the key, like I said, is acceptance. You know, and the sooner that you accept your situation, no matter what your situation, it doesn't matter what your disability is. You know, it doesn't matter what your problem is. The key to anything, the first step to anything is acceptance. You know, you must accept the situation. Because,
you
know, that gives you, that's the opening. That's the opening to the door, you know.
Did you ever have a period where it was hard for you to accept?
Yes. At the very beginning, yes, everything was really, like I said, it was very it was scary. It was I was scared to go outside by myself. I wouldn't go outside unless I went out maybe with my father or my sister or my niece or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go outside by myself. I was afraid. You know, just like I said, see, that's another one of those things that keep us back, which is fear, which to me, the acronym of fear is false evidence real. So if you just, you know, get caught up in that mindset and you're afraid, I mean, it keeps you back because it doesn't allow you to challenge yourself. You know, a lot of us are afraid to challenge because we're afraid things might happen. We're afraid of the unknown. I mean, the unknown, it's a scary feeling, you know. So when you, like I said, when you get involved with a lot of these support groups and a lot of these groups that are out there, they're very helpful. They can be very, very, very helpful because a lot of people are in denial of their situation. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to say, well, this is what happened to me. They still want to live the life that they had before their condition came upon them. You know what I mean? We all go through things in life. That's the thing about it, you know. But the point is, it's like we have to learn to take things for what it is and deal the hand we're dealt, you know, so to speak.
Can you go further into the other things that, other challenges?
Sure. I mean, once I adapted to the whole blind situation, I was doing everything. I was going to the clubs and going to different things.
Did you say
going
to clubs?
Movies. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Going to clubs, going to movies, going to ball games, you know.
How do you go to movies?
Yes.
How do you go to movies?
Well, you know, that was a good – I'm glad you asked that question because that was something I had to ask myself at the beginning. I mean, now that the fact that I don't have my sight no more, how am I ever enjoy a movie anymore? But you know what? You learn to adjust to the new you.
Yes.
And you learn to listen, you know, and it's not about – see, people have a misconception about blind people, and they think that blind people have this extra ultra hearing. It's not really true. The real deal about it is that we listen carefully because our ears are our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you learn to listen to movies, and you get the visual in your head, even if it's a movie that you never saw before. You can still enjoy it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You still have the ability to enjoy. You still, you know.
So you have to have an imagination, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now once you adjusted to being blind, then what?
Well, okay, a few years later, I had another challenge that came along. I had developed an infection. It started off from a small infection in my toe. Once again, that D word comes along called denial, right? You know, a lot of times we don't want to accept what's going on. So what happened was I developed an infection. Infection spread. Things are rapid. They spread throughout the foot, then it spread throughout my leg. And, of course, I had a left leg BKA, which is below the knee amputation. And that was another whole challenge. So, you know, that took me back a few months because here I am lying in a hospital bed. And I'm saying to myself, wow, blind now, how am I going to get around? Because, I mean, I'm thinking, I say, okay, maybe I can get around with prosthesis and a walker, but I only have two arms. So I need to use my guide cane, and how am I going to, I don't have three arms. So how am I going to do this, you know? So what I did was, you know, it's funny, I started using my walker like a crutch, and I used that with a guide cane, and then eventually, I got a quad cane, and then I combined both canes together, and I sort of taught myself some mobility because a lot of things that were promised to me when I left the facility didn't happen. So, you know, because they showed me how to do, you know, inside, which is a whole different ball game. Walking around inside of a facility where the floors are smooth and everything is nice and easy, it's a whole different ball game when you're walking around the streets when you got cracks in the sidewalks and all, and then you're blind on top of that. You can't see what you know, so you have to really, really, really be careful what you do. And, of course, I'm not going to say I never fell down and I never, you know, of course you're going to have those days, but this is all part of the challenge. This is all about, you know, facing, once again, acceptance. First, I had to accept what happened to me, You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Once you accept what you know what's happening to you, and you started moving forward once again. Back at the movies, back at the ball games, back at the clubs.
All right.
No.
Back to the clubs with 2Ks?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, 2Ks, back at the clubs, back at the movies.
Okay,
ball
wait,
games,
can you please,
you know,
can you please tell about the dream that you had driving, please?
Oh, yeah. I had a dream. I was in a car. It's funny, though, because, you know, and my dreams are all visual, of course, because, you know, I've had sight before. I wasn't born this way. So I'm dreaming. I'm in the car, and I got the guy cane sticking out one side. I got my hand on the steering wheel, and the guy cane sticking out the window. Like, I'm driving like this, like, you know. And this is, can you get the visual of that, you know? I mean,
oh, my God.
That is hysterical.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Driving to the club, huh? Wow. I love it that it didn't, none of these challenges took you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it. Now,
well,
where do you,
know, you,
okay.
But this latest one, though, I mean, the latest of the challenges is something I'm still actually going through. But as of late, I sort of developed a new way of thinking about things, and it's helping me a great deal. And that's the whole dialysis thing. Now, that one almost took me out of here. Back in December 2013, I had some difficulty breathing. I was, like, experiencing shortness of breath. And I remember when the doctor told me, he said, whenever you experience shortness of breath, you make sure you go to the ER right away. Of course, I listened to him, so I went to the ER. And before I even got to the hospital, I was already unconscious. I had already blacked out. If I had stayed home that day, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be gone. And it's miraculous, you know, what occurred to me, because actually that night when I went to the hospital, I actually was dying. My heart actually stopped. They had to get my heart started again. And it was a ongoing process, because the doctors already told my sister, they had told her that it don't look like he's gonna make it through the night. He's like, he's, you know, they pretty much, anybody you want to, you know, say goodbye or whatever, they pretty much wrote me off. I mean, that's how it was going.
Mm-hmm.
My pressure kept dropping and dropping and dropping. I was dying. I mean, let's face that. Of course, I don't remember any of these things, and I don't, you know, remember anything. All I know is I woke up when I came to consciousness. It was like 2 o'clock, and I was in restraints. I had restraints on my arms. I had a tube down my throat because I kept pulling the tube out. I didn't even realize I was doing that, and they told me that I kept pulling the tube out of my throat because, you know, it was just helping me breathe. You know, because I had it down to my lungs. I had so much fluid in my chest, and I had fluid around my heart. I was in bad shape, really, really bad shape. But I stayed in the hospital for about a month. Then I went to rehab, and of course I stayed in rehab for about 6 months. So that was all of last year, 2014. You know, it was interesting, though. It was.
You don't sound like it for last year. You don't sound like it.
Well, yeah, this is the thing with, because most people, when they talk to you, you know, when they call you and you're in the hospital, because I'm in the hospital right now. I mean, most people talk to you and you're in the hospital, they figure you're going to be like, oh, man, I'm all right. You know,
yes,
I don't feel like that, so there's no reason why I should sound like that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I feel great, actually. I mean, I'm really actually grateful. You know, despite all of the things that have happened to me, you know what I'm saying? See, there's two ways to look at things. You know, you can look at, you know, they always saying, that old saying, you know, you can look at that glass as half full or half empty. Me,
right.
I choose to look at it as being half full, you know. So I try to be an optimist as opposed to a pessimist. So I don't look at things in a negative. I try to look at things on a positive, and I try to appreciate the life that I have. Even though, yeah, I have some challenges, and even though there are things that are difficult, and it gets very complicated sometimes, you know, but with dialysis, you go through a whole thing, you know, because your blood is, it's a, but see, dialysis is a good thing, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of people fight it. You know, people, I have people complaining when they're on the machine, they want to take me off and get me off this thing, you know, but, you know, in actuality, it's a lifesaver. It's saving your life. It's your kidneys, because your kidneys don't work anymore. So it works as your kidney. So it flushes you with it, and it also takes out the toxins from the body that you can't do on your own anymore. And it's a wonderful thing if you learn to embrace it and you learn to accept it. Once again, there go that word again, acceptance. You know, a lot of us try to fight it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the energy takes fighting it. I'm sorry, Tyson. Go ahead.
My one question to you is that when you're first going blind, did anything occur for you to accept that you were going blind? Huh?
No. I was totally in denial. I was running around literally bumping into people. I was going. I was still going to work. Mm-hmm. Now, check it out. Now, I'm going to tell you a crazy story. I'm working security, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see, and I'm working security.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm secure. I worked a 12 to 8 shift, so there wasn't really no bosses or anything like that around. But I could barely find the door in the morning to get out of the building.
God.
And I didn't have a cane. I can't walk around with a guy cane, and I'm security.
What am I supposed to do, you know, it was something I didn't
tell anybody, because nobody knew. Only person knew was my father that I was going blind. My sister didn't even know. But I didn't want people to feel sorry for me, you know. You didn't want that stomach,
right.
Yes, oh my goodness.
My goodness, security can't even give a description.
Security, can you imagine that? You're going into security, you're watching over somebody's stuff, and you can't even see what you're watching, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
You're like a scarecrow. You're like a scarecrow. You're just there.
Yes, I'm just there. Yeah. Exactly, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
It's funny, though, you know? I think back to those days, and I say, wow, this is funny. You know?
Wow. This is great. I love talking to you. I tell you, it's always something.
Yes.
It is always something. This is great.
Now, we
were speaking the other day, and you were talking about this joy that you feel. This feeling that we're trying to figure out how to market.
Bottle and market to people.
Yeah, I wish I could somehow bottle this. And I'm going to tell you something. This is something I wish everybody can experience for themselves. And I really can't explain it in terms of what happened to me. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to me. I got ill once again. I was in dialysis, and I had a fever. My fever was like 103. And I was sick. I was shaking like a leaf through the whole treatment. I was sitting there shaking. So they took blood from me and everything like that, and then they discovered that, you know, I had some sort of infection or whatever. So they started giving me an antibiotic. Anyway, that helped me a little bit with the shaking and everything like that, but the fever was still sky high. So I said, okay. And when I finished the treatment, fortunately, I was able to finish the treatment, so I was properly dialyzed. The head nurse told me, he said, look, man, we're going to send you to the hospital tonight. So, of course, I'm sitting there like I'm barely conscious. And I'm like, okay, I'm just taking it as it comes. So I'm like, oh, here we go again, back to the hospital again, you know. So when I came across, the hospital's like right across the street from the dialysis center. So when I came to the hospital, I was in the ER. Now, I've had a lot of bad experiences in the hospital, I must tell you that. And I realized a lot of things probably was because I made things a lot worse than it had actually have to be.
Oh, okay.
But when I got into the ER, I made a deal with myself. I said, you know what, this time I'm not going to fuss with anybody and, you know, use any harsh, you know, you know, profanity or anything like that with anybody. I said, well, let me just, you know, be cool this time around. I'm going to do things a little bit differently this time around. And I made a promise to myself. Now, if you can't keep a promise to yourself, who are you going to keep a promise to? You know what I mean? If you break a promise to yourself, then, you know, you can't promise nobody anything. You know what I mean? So I said, you know, and for some reason, when I said that, two words popped to my head and out of nowhere. And I'm going to tell you what those two words were: patience and tolerance. You know, they carry you a long, long way. When I say patience and tolerance carry a long way, I mean, it's like those were my best friends. They've been my best friends. And when I learned that now, patience and tolerance, because I was never patient before and I was very little tolerance, right, you know, through my previous hospital visits, things just opened up for me. And it's like a whole nother world just opened up for me. And I'm like, I started feeling different. Now, mind you, a few years ago, before I lost my sight, I used to be like this in terms of the positive thinking. But when things start to go wrong in your life, you allow sometimes those things, you know, overtake what you already have, if you allow it to happen, you know. And, you know, unfortunately, the things that started coming about, you know, with the blindness, the amputations, the dialysis, things started to override all of the inner peace that I had previously. It's like I rediscovered it when I got to the ER. I don't know how it came and where it came from or whatever like that. So I was just experiencing this joy and this inner peace, and I just started feeling happy. Like, well, what am I feeling happy about? Here I am, I'm facing surgery. I had another amputation coming. The doctor told me the next morning. But then, when the doctor told me, I was like, okay. He said, you know, Mr. Baker, I'm afraid we're going to have to amputate another toe. So I was like, okay, all right. I guess he said, dang, that's it? That's it? You going to take that? You know, like, it's no big deal. And it's not like I took it like that. It's just that's how I'm feeling. You know, I'm like, okay, all right. No, I can deal with that. You know, I've dealt with it before.
I was speaking to somebody about, you know, when we were talking the other day and you was explaining this to me. And, you know, I told him that you were in the hospital and everything and how you were feeling. And the person said to me, you sure he's not doped up? You know?
That's another thing, see? You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Because, see, what I have is not a drug. See what I'm saying? It's something, and I think we all have it. I think we all have it. You know, it's just that we have to sort of either reach inside for it or it has to just come out. You know what I'm saying? And I really can't, like I said, I can't really explain how it just happened to me. I'm just telling you what happened in terms of the things I went through and how these feelings all of a sudden start nowhere. You know what I mean? So, and I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. It's like, oh, my goodness. It's like this inner joy, peace that you can't imagine. I mean, just imagine waking up every day of your life and you're happy. No reason. I mean, other than the fact that you're alive and you're breathing and you're really appreciating life. You know what? I tell everybody, you know, I fell in love, you know, with this thing called life. You know, experience. You know what I mean?
That's a wonderful thing. Guys, we're going to have to wrap up. I know it was a fast half hour. It was wonderful half hour. I appreciate you, Don. I appreciate you. Thank you for sharing with our audience.
I would like
to have you back on.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tyson.
One question, Don. Can you repeat the location for the blind, please? The health center they have for the blind. Can you repeat the location, please?
Oh, that will be Helen Keller Services for the Blind. That will be 57 Willoughby Street, located downtown Brooklyn, right there on between Lawrence and J Street.
Okay, great.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
All right,
thank
guys.
You.
Yes.
This has been Laid, Love, and Intimacy for the Disabled with Stephanie Wallace and Tyson Cherry and our special guest, Don. Oh, my God, Don Baker. I forgot your name for a minute.
Give us your feedback on our Facebook page at LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled, on our Twitter page at LAID Safe Space, or drop us an email at loveandintimacyforthedisabled@gmail.com. We'll see you again next week, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/LAID. Bye-bye, guys. Thank you.
Okay.